Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I have invited Treva Brandon Scharf back on the podcast, but to talk about something different. So if you missed our first episode, we talked about Treva losing two parents in the past 6 months. So how she was dealing with that and how she's growing from that, as well as, you know, having to deal with COVID on top of that and then just regular life. So if you missed that episode, you can go back and check that one out. But today we're going to be talking about a completely different topic. So if you missed that first episode, let me read to you Treva's bio. So Treva Brandon Scharf is an ICF certified life coach, dating expert, fitness pro, blogger, and marriage first timer at the age of 51. With over 35 years in the fitness business and many more in the singles world, Treva knows firsthand how to achieve peak performance in love and life. Treva writes about empowerment, surviving singledom, and finding love later in life at her blog, The Late Blooming Bride. She's a contributor to Huffington Post, Hollywood Progressive, Arianna Huffington's Thrive Global, Relationship Development and Transformation, Midlife Boulevard, Medium, Bustle, Curves Connect, Better After 50, and many others. Treva is an in-demand speaker for conferences, panels, online summits, and podcasts. As a post-50s influencer, she's a voice for strong, independent women. And she currently hosts the podcast called Done Being Single with her husband, Robbie, at donebeingsingle.com. And when Treva's not imparting tough love to her clients and followers, she volunteers as a Special Olympics coach and Fulfillment Fund mentor for at-risk kids. She's passionate about politics, policy, and people of all ages and abilities. Treva, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I'm so looking forward to talking about this topic because it's super relevant, especially for those who are single and looking, which is how to date during COVID or what dating looks like during COVID. I have so many questions for you. So you got, let's just start with this. What is your dating philosophy? Let's start there.
Pandemic or no pandemic? Actually, you know what? It applies to both because I'm actually one of those people that feels that the pandemic could be a real boost to dating, a real benefit in a way. I know that sounds nuts, but my whole thing with dating is coming from a place of self-worth. That's really where everything starts in life. Knowing your worth and your value. I mean, it's applicable to just about anything, whether it's dating or in the job world, with anything. You just have to know what you've got. And that's where you start with dating, that you are the prize and that you're awesome. And too many people don't believe that and oftentimes give up their power to other people for thinking they're going to be more lovable or, you know, approved of or wanted. So that's kind of where I start with everything when advising clients, counseling, coaching. It's for me to build their self-worth first. Mm. And then the rest tends to fall into place. Mm. So if you feel that you're worthy and deserving of a great love, and I think we did talk about this last time, I'm not sure, or a great body, or a great job, or a great life, you will tend to be a little bit more successful over those that don't feel that they're worthy and deserving. Mm. So I know for me, there were plenty of gaps in that. I didn't practice what I preached many times during when I was single. And I had to learn. I learned the hard way. I just learned and over and over and over again, you know, trial and error, trial and error. And eventually I got it. I got the lesson. I got that I'm pretty great. And whoever wants to be with me is lucky. Mm. And I think that's kind of, and that applies to anything, you know, whoever hires you should be lucky. Whoever wants to date you should feel lucky. And sometimes you have to come from that as opposed to the other way and make yourself feel like, oh, I'm lucky or I'm privileged or I should be, you know, to be with this person. And that will lead you down sort of, you know, a bad road. In terms of the pandemic, I think that the pandemic is forcing everybody to go slower, which is just not a bad thing. Just is not. It's to me, it can only benefit your dating life and relationships, developing relationships when you're forced to slow down. And I think, again, just out of necessity, people are getting their heads around that because they have no choice. It's a matter, I don't want to say life or death, but okay, you know, health and their safety. Now they have to slow down. Mm. And to me, that's probably what's missing in today's dating world, seeing that people are very instant gratification. It's easy to be that way with online dating and the apps and swiping. It's really set up for quantity and not really quality. And it's set up so that you go as fast as you can, which I just... Sorry, I just don't think that that is really a healthy way to approach your dating life. It's almost like speed dating. Mm-hmm. So my philosophy during this time is to follow the protocols, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, stay online. By all means, there's no reason why you can't meet people. But just do it slowly, and it's going to force you to go slow, and you will have to get to know each other because you can't just jump into the sack with someone. I mean, I guess you could, but wouldn't be very smart. So there's a lot about what's going on right now that gives me a little, I'm a little heartened and I'm a little encouraged. It may feel harder. It may take a little more work for people. But in the end, you will have gotten to know someone probably better now than you would have pre-pandemic, where people, I just think everyone is in such a hurry and there's an urgency. I also think that the time we're in is making people want something more substantial. Because you can't, it's not quantity right now. And there's a lot about what's going on that's forcing people to, you know, quarantine and sequester and isolate and be by themselves and stay in. And people want companionship for the long run. I don't see now being particularly good for hookup culture. I think it's great for permanent culture.
Yeah. So you actually think that there's benefit to dating right now, right?
Yes.
Whereas maybe people might think, oh, this is not a good time to date and I'm over 50 or I'm over 40 or I'm over 60 or whatever. And, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, like if there was ever a sense of urgency, it is now because... You know, I've been looking for somebody. I haven't been able to find them. And now dating seems even harder because I can't go and meet people. You know, maybe people are not online daters in the first place. You know, and also, you know, maybe even those feelings like you talked about of more loneliness, you know. So what would you say to the woman who, you know, is over 40, over 50 and beyond, and who's looking for somebody and is lonely at home, maybe wasn't a huge online dater in the first place, and feels that, you know, you're saying slow down, but feels that sense of urgency because, you know, who knows how long this is going to last, right? What would you say to her?
Have hope. Keep the faith. Stay out there. I would not be discouraged. I just would not at all. Again, you've got to look at this as just being a little hiccup, a little bump in the road. There will be a time when this is all over. But the good news is that whoever you find right now is probably in it to win it. You know, they're probably, they're in it to beat for the long run. And that goes both for men and women. Because you can't, it is unsafe to just have a one-nighter these days. You just can't, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, I don't advise it. And taking your time can only be beneficial, and it can only make things deeper and it's kind of sexier when you're forced to wait and hold back and take your time. There's something very, very lovely and kind of old fashioned about that. Mm.
So that's interesting. You say that maybe people who are dating online are more serious and not just, I mean, of course, because we shouldn't be hooking up right now anyway, but you would say that they might be more serious than if things were quote unquote normal, like they were. That's interesting.
I have a girlfriend who this kind of really has not stopped her one bit. She is as active as she was before the pandemic. It's just, it's making it just, you know, and in a way, kind of it challenging in a good way. It's making it fun. It's making it hotter in a way. Like, how can we find creative ways to see each other and get together and get around this and get to know each other and learn about each other? And because eventually you want to pull the mask off.
Yeah, it's really interesting the things that you're saying about, you know, being forced to slow down is a good thing. This is actually a really great time to meet somebody. There's possibly more quality people out there. And, you know, going slow is actually pretty attractive. It's not like, oh, when can we meet, right? But actually, maybe even for women, being able to, I mean, I don't know. Is it usually the guy, like if it's a heterosexual, you know, thing, is it usually the guy who wants to meet first, like in person, or is it the woman? I mean, I know that's a general question, but
my God,
what do you think?
I don't know. That's a great question. And, I think it's relative. I think it's depends on who the person is and how active they were, and assertive and maybe even aggressive. Before the pandemic, I know both men and women that this is just not, it may have just kind of slowed them down a little bit. And then there are others that, and they take it sort of as an extra layer of fun and challenge and let's see, you know, how do we do this? And it's good for them. Mm-hmm. And then there are other people that this has absolutely shut them down. Mm. And they can't for the life of them find a workaround, which is sad. Mm-hmm. And not necessary. I also think that this has been an awesome excuse for people not to have to even try. Mm-hmm. This has been a good, you know, like the people that were struggling with it anyway, this is like, no, I'm taking a break. And you know what? Good for them. Take a break. Mm. If there was ever a time to take a break.
This is right.
You can't, right. It's sort of a win-win situation. Mm.
So I recently had my friend on who is a travel, like she helps people plan their travels. Okay. And of course we can't travel right now, or we shouldn't be traveling. So she recommended like starting to get excited about traveling, you know, start to dream about places you want to go and things you want to see and, you know, start to actually like make a plan for that and get excited about it and, you know, just not book it yet, but get excited about it. So maybe for women who are like, okay, yeah, I want to take it slow right now, or maybe I want to just chill right now. I don't want to be looking, but I do want to start looking at some point again for somebody. How do you think women can like maybe in the same way, maybe work on themselves during this time. And then when things get back to quote unquote normal, whatever that's going to look like, where we can kind of meet more and do all of that kind of stuff. I don't know. Is that something that you suggest, like working on yourself?
Yes.
In this time?
Yeah. Okay. You know, bingo, you hit the nail on the head. This is a fantastic time to do everything that you've been either putting off, meaning to do, wanting to change, wanting to improve. If not now, when? If not you, who? This is it. So sure. I mean, I've taken this time to do some things that I've been meaning to do. And because, you know, at some point we're going to be up and back and out and life will go back to normal. So yes, if you're someone who's been, you know, wants to get in better shape, lose some weight, if you're in between relationships, if you've just ended one, if you're getting ready to go back out there, this is beautiful. This is like, oh, wow, what an opportunity. And I kind of feel the same way as I was saying about me. You know, my parents just passed away, and wow, does the universe kind of come in hand? The pandemic, as horrible as it's been, it's allowed me to take a break. I've been able to just, you know, put everything on pause and work on me. I'm going with it. I am welcoming it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess everybody, you know, listening is going to be in a different situation and all of that. So, you know, I mean, being able to take any of these, you know, pieces of advice, hopefully they're helpful. And you know, it's just going to look different right now, you know, how we meet or how we date and all that kind of stuff is just going to be different. And I think, you know, I like how you said about, I don't know if you said it in this way, but, you know, looking at this time as an opportunity to do things a little bit differently. Maybe you've been trying the same way of dating for a really long time, and maybe this is a chance to, you know, try something different, right? Try something new. Right. And, you know, seeing this as a time of opportunity, and being creative, I think, is what you said as well. I think that's really great to think about.
I can understand it's really hard to be alone right now. And I'm sure I was talking to a friend of mine. I was talking to my cousin who lives in Eugene, Oregon. And I was really concerned about her because I was hearing that the fires are coming very close to where she lives. And she's single, never been married, no kids. And she said she really misses human contact. And it's even worse now because she can't even go out because it's just the air quality is horrible. And she said, you don't really know how lucky you are to have someone right now. And I believe me, I count my blessings because I didn't have someone for a really long time. I mean, I, as you know, got married at 51. I never even lived with anyone before that. So I can't imagine how tough it is to be on your own right now and to miss the human contact, to miss human touch. Mm-hmm. I was trying to remember the last person I hugged before all this, because I'm really careful. I'm one of those sort of COVID careful people. So I'm, you know, no contact with me. And I am lucky. I've got a wonderful person. I have a partner who's helped me through some of the toughest times in my life. But I think there are people out there that are looking for something deeper. And if this doesn't teach us, you know, show us what we really, really need in life, I don't know what will. And if it's a partner you want, if it's a stable relationship you know that you want, if it's more self-respect, more self-love, is what you need and what you want, this is the time to, you know, if not to work on it right now, at least to have it as a plan, like your friend, the travel agent.
Right.
Make a plan forward.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I mean, if there was ever a time that our needs are really just front and center, you know, we know like, oh man, like, or not knowing what you have until it's gone, right? Like touch, like a hug. I mean, we all need it. These are basic human needs, whether you're single or not, you know, we need touch, we need hugs, we need human physical contact, you know? So, you know, those are just those basic human needs and being able to, you know, think about, wow, I didn't know how much I really needed that. So, you know, before we go, Treva, I always, you know, I like to leave, things positive and hopeful. And I think you gave us a lot of great things to think about during this time, which, you know, is a dreary time, but, there is a lot of hope and possibility still out there for people who are looking, for a partner. So I want to leave by you telling your story about how you didn't get married, as you mentioned, until you were 51, but you had dated quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of never found Mr. Right. Share that story with us and, you know, how you two met and also what might be some of the benefits of finding love over 50?
I was single, and for the first many years of my life, I just wasn't ready. I mean, there was nothing more complicated, or there was no pathology there. Just I wasn't ready. So 20s, 30s, I could not settle down. Was not ready to commit. Nothing was wrong with me. It was just my personal timing. Then I got into my 40s, and then my biological clock went off, and that kind of changed everything. Suddenly, I was in a hurry. So those were the rough years. The 40s, being single in your 40s, super hard. And I just made a ton of mistakes. I suddenly had this ticking clock. It really drove me. It really, I didn't have really presence of mind. I wasn't making good choices because I was getting up there. And I was 49. I had been dating someone for about 6 months before I met Robbie. And I thought that one was going all the way. I was sure of it. I thought, this is it. This has got to be, you know, there was a lot, we lined up in a lot of ways and we were compatible and there was chemistry, only to find out that we really weren't. We weren't on the same page. We did really not want the same things. We just did not have a shared future, a vision of the future, which is everything, by the way. You got to have a shared vision of the future, or I really believe nothing can work. And so I broke up with him, and because I knew that I wasn't going to get my needs met. And I knew that he couldn't deliver. And I went into just total despair. And I was almost 50. It was a couple months, 2-3 months before I turned 50. And this was a terrible breakup. It was just shattering. I was devastated. And I was like totally bottomed out. I just thought, I'm a loser. I'm a failure. I cannot believe I didn't have kids. I couldn't get married before I was 50. I'm over the hill. No one's going to want me. I'm washed up. And I felt this way for about a solid month or so. It was right before the holidays. I had a terrible Christmas. I was depressed. It was just, you know, I was in no mood, not celebratory. And then something like started to lift around January of the next of 2013. And I started feeling better and better and better. And then suddenly I thought, you know what? I'm about to turn 50. I'm a few weeks away from turning 50. And I refuse to feel sorry for myself. I am not going into this decade feeling like a loser or a failure. And so, I don't know. I just embraced my singleness and I made peace with it. And I thought, if I'm going to be single, I'm going to be super happy. And I threw myself a 50th birthday because I thought, I'm never getting married. I'm never going to have a wedding. So I'm going to throw a big party. And I did, and I invited a ton of people. Robbie and I had met on Facebook. We went to the same school, so we were sort of school Facebook friends. I had never met him. And we had had a few personal some private message exchanges, but nothing ever came of it because I was in no mood and I didn't know. I just thought he was being friendly and I didn't really want to flirt because I had just been kind of recovering from that breakup. But I remember him being a really, really, really nice guy. And so I invited him to my birthday party and he showed up. I hugged him and I couldn't believe he came. And I said, oh my gosh, it's you. And then we went on a date the following week. And long story short, 6 months later, he proposed. 9 months later, we got married. So that's how I met. I kind of met him on Facebook. Wow. And sort of a Facebook success story. It just was by accident, kind mm-hmm. of not, yeah. And as to getting together later in life, it is fantastic. Okay, let me just say, when you meet someone later, you know who you are. You so know who you are. You are so comfortable, or at least you should be, with who you are, and you should be comfortable in your skin. And at this point, at 50, you know what? Kind of make your own rules. You can be your authentic self. And that's that. And I can't say enough about just how different, how much better. I could not have been married 1 minute before this. Let's just put it that way. I'm such a different person. All those years, all that heartache, all those breakups. Oh my gosh. They meant something and they paid off. I learned and I learned and I learned. And I guess I, you know, got myself to a place where, I don't know, I didn't care anymore. You know, that was huge. I'm a little conflicted with the effort versus detachment, you know, equation. How much effort do you put forth? And then how much should you let go? And I think it's equal parts. That's why I was successful. I really believe in the end it's because I kind of gave up. I didn't give up on myself. I just gave up on the whole marriage thing. That was a huge, it was like a giant weight had lifted. It is harder sometimes getting together later in life with someone because you are so set in your ways, you know, there's so much great stuff about being this age, but let's be real. When you get together with someone who is over, by the way, Robbie hadn't been married either. So he was a marriage first timer too. He's 6 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So we both had a life. And when we got together, you know, I had my way of doing things. He had his way of doing things. We still butt heads. Because, you know, I have a system, he has a system. It worked for me for 51 years. It worked for him. Sometimes, you know, there's conflict there, but it's usually just a kind of operating system type stuff. We're on the same page in the bigger things. And I would just be open to just knowing that no one's perfect. And that's another good thing about being this age. You're not perfect. You're just not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. So stop looking for it. Mm. And the minute you can do that, you will find what you're looking for. And by the way, you may not find what you're looking for. You may be single for a long time. You may be single forever. It is so important that you prepare and live your life as if for whatever comes your way. But it shouldn't hinge on someone completing you. And I think that's what made the difference for me is that I kind of gave that up. I detached from the outcome, which is just a huge, if you can surrender, if you can find some surrender in your daily life, I don't care if it's with your family, your job, your dating life, some moment where you just say, you know what, I give up here. I'm going to let go. That's major. That's really powerful. Mm. So there was, like I said, there was effort on my part. I put forth the effort and I sure did work on myself. But at the end of the day, I got fine with myself and I let go.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And it's really inspirational to hear. And that's, you know, this goes for people who have been single their entire lives or people who've been divorced and they're looking again or widowed, or there's so many different things. So thank you so much, Treva. Listeners, if you're interested in hearing more, Treva has a podcast with her husband, Robbie. Like I said in the beginning, it's called Done Being Single. You can check that out at donebeingsingle.com. Treva, thank you so much for coming in and sharing about you know, your knowledge and expertise about dating during COVID. Really appreciate it. If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more me time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.